It sounds like you lived a fair deal in Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, and the Twin Cities of
Yeah.
Minnesota. Is there something to the Midwestern culture that helped you develop your creativity and your humor?
Yeah, I'm hesitant to call it humor because humor is usually comedy that's not all that funny. So I want to avoid that. But no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, Mystery Science Theater is so Midwestern, right? I mean, even the way we made it's a real outsider piece of comedy. I think if I would have tried to do it on either one of the coasts, I would have been stopped by a team of lawyers, probably. But because they weren't around and I didn't enlist their help, we were able to get the show going before they knew what had happened.
And you had a lot of resources and creativity. I know that you did some circuits on the coast and also appeared on Saturday Night Live, Late Night with David Letterman. But when it came to starting a show with KTMA back in the Twin Cities, it sounds like you had a lot of freedom. You were just doing some innovative props and a few puppets. Could you ever guess that this venture would become a decades-long sensation with a Peabody Award and countless revivals?
Well, it's funny. People asked if I was surprised that it worked as a TV show, and I always say, well, that's why you make a TV show, is you think it'll work for a broad audience, especially back then, 30 years ago. Whereas now, you can do stuff on YouTube, and it could just be, I'm going to practice my guitar on YouTube. It's a little different now, but I didn't anticipate 30 years later we'd still be talking about it and we'd have 20 new episodes on Netflix and have three national tours out in the last 3 or 4 years and a comic book and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's been really nice and I'm really happy about that. But, yeah, I didn't see that part of it for sure. Now it's clearly getting ridiculous.
After two very well-received seasons, Netflix chose not to renew the program for a third recently. How did you respond, Joel, when you heard the news?
Well, I was a little discouraged just because we're their third highest rated show based on Rotten Tomatoes. I was kind of surprised, but at the same time, they have a history of having done that, especially with content they don't own. So I wasn't too discouraged because it kind of tracks the way they've handled a lot more expensive properties than ours, a lot more famous stuff than ours. But it's frustrating, but at the same time, they have a business and we have a business, and sometimes those things gel together and sometimes they don't. So I'm not too discouraged because fortunately, we have a really great fan base that wants us to keep making stuff. So that's good.
I know that the show has been on KTMA, the comedy channel, Sci-Fi, and of course Netflix. It seems that MST3K has a very devoted fan base that keeps a faithful revival possible. So, do you think this could happen again with Jonah and the Bots?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope so. And yeah, absolutely. I think the idea of more MST is very likely for sure.
Going back
If you can
to
say very likely and wait, what did I say? I forgot what I said. It's like, is very likely. And then I said for sure. And it's kind of like I saying something's likely and then saying something's for sure are kind of contrasting messages. But that's how I feel right now.
Well, it certainly come back time and time again. So I think if the fan base has their say, I think you're off to a really strong start to seeing a revival. It's just a matter of where.
Yeah, I think so.
Growing up, did you have a favorite comedian or musician or movie actor?
You mean just in general, unrelated to MST?
Yeah, I mean, I was curious if you had any influences that kind of prepped you for your
Oh,
career.
well, yeah. I mean, I think John Mulaney's like super strong stand-up right now. Also, Jim Gaffigan, obviously, Dave Chappelle, really like those guys are really incredible talent.
And also, I think I read somewhere too that there was like a kind of a special effects guy in your neighborhood or city who liked to design special effects for haunted houses and things like that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was just in Green Bay on the tour, and his name was Dale Kiper. He was living in Green Bay when I was in junior high and high school, and his presence was known because he was a brilliant sculptor and sculpt stuff out of foam, and his stuff was in the novelty shop. Like, you could rent his masks and stuff, and he did a really amazing spook show when I was in high school that I got to see. And he was just a really gifted, naive artist, really. Just a really interesting cat. And just knowing there was a guy doing national films out of Green Bay was really neat.
Yeah. You still cheer for the Packers, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I'm still a diehard Packer fan. I mean, it's really in my blood.
Between the riffing and the skits, music has been a really major part of MST3K. How important was it to you to feature a song or two in many of the episodes?
Oh, I don't know. I almost feel like that's something we inherited from the Muppets. You know, something about puppets and singing just go together so well. So I always feel like that's kind of, whether it's deliberate or not, I think that's what I was thinking when we started doing songs. It's just such a good device for delivering jokes that we started to explore it right away with the show. And it's a wonderful delivery system for comedy, you know? And when it's not funny, we call it humor, right? It's a good delivery system for humor. But I just think it's one of those things that goes with the territory when you're doing puppet.
You did a song called Sandy Frank. You sang it to the opening theme of all the Sandy Frank movies, which included Time of the Apes, Fugitive Alien.
Right?
Was that also, I had heard too, that maybe Sandy Frank, the distributor, was a little miffed at MST3K kind of riffing on a lot of its movies?
So, yeah, with Sandy Frank, you know, he was one of these guys who was distributing movies, and most distributors, they would do these packages where they'd distribute good films and then they'd insert the films that we wanted. For a long time, those kind of distributors could be nameless, faceless titles, and they could traffic in all kinds of movies, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just started to mention him, and he became a character, you know, because of the content.
And then Patrick Swayze, Christmas, is another eternal classic.
Yeah. I know. Every time Christmas rolls around, it's one of our most requested songs.
Although the big holiday that MST3K is most associated with is Thanksgiving, because it has the Turkey Day Marathon and other a lot of notable things. Is that your favorite holiday?
Oh, my goodness. I know. It's just, we got so lucky with that. It was interesting. It came from a promotion guy at Comedy Central. His name was Tony Fox, and he pitched the idea of a Turkey Day Marathon because our movies were considered turkeys, and there's always a long life of movies that aren't great movies be called turkeys, starting with the Medved Brothers Turkey Awards book, which had a big impact on me when it came out. I read it in college, and I remember that's where I first learned about Plan 9 from Outer Space and Robot Monster and a lot of the movies we ended up using. And I remember reading it and going, why isn't anybody making a TV show with this stuff? So the Turkey Awards had a big impact on me, and then for it to come full circle to do Turkey Day and to do a marathon during Thanksgiving and for it to have an impact, it was really one of the early counter-programming to football and parades on Thanksgiving.
Now, you've said, Joel, that this great cheesy movie circus tour is your swan song, meaning every night you're saying farewell to a different crowd in a different city. Is it hard to be leaving this big cultural phenomenon that you developed?
It's not to me. I mean, to me, I would still want to be involved with it for the near future. Part of the reason I came back and refreshed it with a new cast and new writers and new producers and performers was to demonstrate that the idea could last outside of me or Mike Nelson, you know, and just kind of show that it could go on. I'm still interested in working with the brand. For various reasons, I was in on each of the tours. The first tour I went out to present Jonah, and the second tour was our 30th anniversary tour, so it made sense for Jonah and I to go out together. And then this one lent itself really well for it to be my final one. And then this is just saying, from here on out, I'm just not going to go out on tour with MST. So I'll still be participating with the show and producing the shows and stuff like that. I just won't be on stage. That's really it.
You also have a creative brand in the fire, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'd like to it's important that we refresh the show and keep new people coming into it and participating. We don't want to just be a nostalgia act, you know, so that's a big part of it.
Well, I certainly hope that the show gets revived, and I hope that Jonah continues on. As far as being a host and a captive on the Satellite of Love following you and Mike Nelson, what were the characteristics you think that make Jonah ideal for that part?
Well, number one, you have to play at a certain level as a comic and be ready to handle it, because there was a lot of attention on that role, you know, to come back from the show not being on for 20 years to start up again. It had to be someone who could be confident in that position. It would have been unfair to find someone, a nobody that no one had ever heard of. Like, for example, Mike Nelson, he had never done anything on TV or done anything nationally. So it worked out because he came from the inside of Mystery Science Theater as our head writer. So this new guy had to be kind of have a different profile and different set of skills. And Jonah was so well known from the Nerdist podcast and from hosting shows on Comedy Central and doing his own special and just appearing as a comic. So he had the identity and he had the chops to kind of do that kind of stuff. But also, I just personally really liked him. I felt that he is very affable, just works really hard and is just willing to stick to an idea until we get it to work. And that's just a huge quality that I really appreciated. I'm amazed by him. Is just has this great workman's attitude towards comedy. And when you have that role, a very few people really understand it, because you're, in some ways, you're emoting for all the characters on camera because they're robots. And so they can't do a lot of stuff, especially Tom is like, his head can turn side to side and his mouth can move and he has no eyes. So sometimes the performer is doing a lot of the emoting for that. And Jonah's great at that. You know, this new season, we were able to start innovating the robot. The Crow could move his hands and Servo could, and Gypsy had more flexibility and could come down from the ceiling, but there's still limitations what they can do. So he really does fantastic with that stuff too. So he's kind of the whole enchilada as far as a perfect guy to be the host.
Well, Joel, I think our time is about up. I just want to thank you again, and also thank you for just bringing this program. I saw it for the first time in McAllister College, Minnesota, my sophomore year, 1988.
Oh, yeah.
Really livened up my Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to work on it, too. That's awesome.
It was great. And somewhere I still have a MST3K fan club membership certificate with your signature and apparently,
oh my goodness!
And apparently, I'm fan number two, so pretty wowed by that.
Wow, that's amazing! I think that's the highest up I've ever met anyone.
Well, hopefully, it didn't say number two on everyone's certificate, but I was pretty happy.
Oh yeah, I don't think so. I think we stuck with the real number system.
So anyway, in the short time we have left to wrap up, anything else you want to add, either about the program or the tour?
I'm just really looking forward to getting to Oregon and, love it there, especially Eugene. It's such a cool place, and I'm really excited to bring the show there. I think they'll love it, and it's just one of those really wonderful places we're looking forward to traveling to.
Well, happy travels, and we'll hopefully see you in about a month.
All right, sounds good, man.
Thanks, Joel.
Bye.
Bye.